Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our service of worship for this morning. The announcements for this morning were before you as you entered the sanctuary, and some are in the bulletin, so I hope you've had an opportunity to make note of those which are of most importance to you. As we begin worship this morning, a welcome to all who are here in the sanctuary, both folks who are here each week and visitors. It is a pleasure to welcome you to worship this morning, and a welcome to all those who join us on the live streams. It is a pleasure that you can join with us, both friends, old and new. This morning is Mother's Day, so a happy Mother's Day to all mothers in the congregation and those women who inspire us in our lives. Announcements for this week. The session will meet on Tuesday evening. I don't think we had a slide in for that. Tuesday at 7 is the meeting of session here at the church, so elders make note of that. Bible study on John Calvin is going to belatedly begin this week, and a link to the ebook is going to go out later this afternoon, which means we've got a couple of days, all of my technologically unsavvy people, to kind of wrestle with making it work between now and Wednesday night. So watch for a link later this afternoon. Hopefully it will run well on all devices. Finally, just a reminder, we continue to be recruiting for folks on the tech desk to help with the various tasks that are back there. Advancing slides, or if you want to get more fancy, you can get into all of the fun with the cameras and things. We are aware that this year we lose one of our tech support people. Roy will be graduating high school in a couple of weeks and going off to greater things, and so we will miss him both in an emotional way. We'll miss you, Roy. And we'll also miss the fact that Roy does a lot of work back there. So if you feel called to be part of the tech ministry and to continue to see the live streams continue with at the same quality that they have been over the past several years, speak to Dan or to Alex or myself. Which one worked last week? Anybody remember? I think it was this one. Friends, we light the Christ candle as a visible sign that Christ is the light of the world and that we who are his people seek to walk in his paths. Let us stand as we come into the presence of our Lord this morning. And we shall say together the call to worship as it appears before us on the screens. This is a responsive call, as is our custom. Bless our God, O peoples. Let the sound of praise be heard. God has kept us among the living and has not let our feet slip.
We went through fire and through water, yet God has brought us out to a spacious place.
Come and hear what God has done for us, all who fear God.
Surely God has listened to us and heard our prayers. Blessed be God, who is steadfast love.
Let us pray. Loving God, in whom we live and move and have our being, help us to choose life in you, that we may keep the commandments of Jesus, follow the promptings of the Holy Spirit, and witness to the hope that is within us, sharing Christ's love to the world. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Our opening hymn for this morning is on the sheet in the book in the bulletin this morning. If you want to follow along with notes, note we will not sing the Zimbabwean words this morning. We will just sing the English words, but Zimbabwe may come soon. Uye Mimose is not that hard, but this morning we shall sing in English to Come All You People.
Come all you people, come and praise your name.
Olivia, that's a good Trinitarian hymn, and Trinity Sunday is only about 3 Sundays away. Remind me. Brothers and sisters in Christ, God does not only ask us to repent, but also assures us of forgiveness. Therefore, let us confess our sins with confidence to the one who is steadfast in love, knowing that God's mercy is never ending. This morning's prayer of confession is a unison prayer and will appear before us on the screens. Eternal God, in whom we live and move and have our being, whose face is hidden from us by our sin, and whose mercy we forget in the blindness of our hearts, cleanse us from all our offenses, and deliver us from proud thoughts and vain desires, that with reverent and humble hearts we may draw near to you, confessing our faults, confiding in your grace, and finding in you our refuge and strength. Through Jesus Christ, your Son. Amen. In his abundance of grace, God has forgiven us. God has freed us from our sin and transformed our grief into joy. Now we can be at peace with God. In gratitude for the great gift of God's forgiveness, let us share God's peace with one another, and may the peace of God be with you all. Peace Choir. Our hymn is "Let All the World in Every Corner Sing," hymn number 271. Please be seated, yes. This morning we celebrate our graduates from post-secondary education, our college and university graduates. So we have, and unfortunately none happen to be here, but a reminder, before I forget, because I've forgotten the announcements, we are looking towards high school graduates come the end of June. And so if you are aware of high school graduates in the congregation, remind us who they are so that we can track them down. This morning, we have 3 graduates from post-secondary education, so we celebrate with them. The first is Aaron Libby. Aaron is our farthest afield this year. Aaron studied at architectural drafting at the University of Fraser Valley in British Columbia, in Chilliwack. And she is working. What a wonderful thing to discover that a university graduate has actually gone to work. She is working at Kirchhoff Engineering in Chilliwack, BC, as a junior structural drafting technician. So congratulations to Aaron. Rhodes Brown, on the next slide, is studied 3D animation at Collège La Cité in Ottawa and is looking forward to a career as a professional animator. So stay for the credits at the end of the movie. One of these days you'll see Rhodes there, and congratulations to him. And finally, Deanna Adams-Gill has completed a 4-year Bachelor of Arts degree with majoring in English and History at Nipissing College and is returning to school in the fall to pursue a teaching degree. So she has a little bit more studying to do. Although these are our three post-secondary graduates of the year, so we congratulate them all. And I guess this would be a good time for the Sunday school to go on their way. So we'll see you guys later. This morning's lesson is must be on the Spirit, because that's what the gospel is. Yeah. Let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, our helper and advocate. Open our hearts and minds this day. Entice us with your presence. Spark us with a word of life, a message that we may share with others as we seek to live Christ's love in the world. All this we ask in the name of God, who creates, redeems, and sustains us. Amen.
Good morning. The first reading is from Acts chapter 17, verses 22 to 31. Then Paul stood in front of the Areopagus and said, "Athenians, I see how extremely spiritual you are in every way. For as I went through the city and looked carefully at the objects of your worship, I found among them an altar with the inscription, 'To an unknown God.' What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it, he who is Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in shrines made by human hands, nor is he served by human hands, as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mortals life and breath and all things. From one ancestor, he made all peoples to inhabit the whole earth, and he allotted the times of their existence and the boundaries of the places where they would live, so that they would search for God and perhaps fumble about for him and find him, though indeed he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As even some of your own poets have said, for we too are his offspring. Since we are God's offspring, we ought not to think that the deity is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and imagination of mortals. While God has overlooked the times of human ignorance, now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will have the world judged in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And all of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead."
A reading from 1 Peter chapter 3. "Now who will harm you if you are eager to do what is good? But even if you do suffer for doing what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear. Do not be intimidated, but in your hearts sanctify Christ as God. Always be ready to make your defense to anyone who demands from you an accounting for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect. Maintain a good conscience so that when you are maligned, those who abuse you for your good conduct in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if suffering should be God's will, than to suffer for doing evil. For Christ also suffered for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, in order to bring you to God. He was put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit, in which also he went and made proclamation to the spirits in prison, who in former times did not obey. When God waited patiently in the days of Noah during the building of the ark, in which a few, that is, eight lives, were saved through water. And baptism, which this prefigured, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven, and it is at the right hand of God, with angels, authorities, and powers made subject to him. And a reading from John chapter 14. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I'm coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me because I live, and you also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me. And those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them.
Our next hymn is also contained on the sheet in the bulletin this morning. All lands to God in joyful sounds. The hymn is contained in the bulletin. As we turn to our sermon text for this morning, Psalm 66, this is one of those mornings where you might want to have the Bible open on your lap during the sermon. You don't have to. You can sit back and just enjoy the sermon as it is. But if you want to follow along on some of the things that I'm saying, this might be a good time to open the Pew Bible to Psalm 66 that you might have it for reference later. And we're going to read Psalm 66 this morning in its entirety. Friends, let us listen for God's word as it is given to us in the psalm this morning. Make a joyful noise to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Give to him glorious praise. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. Because of your great power, your enemies cringe before you. All the earth worships you. They sing praises to you. Sing praises to your name. Come and see what God has done. He is awesome in his deeds among mortals. He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the river on foot. There we rejoiced in him, who rules by his might forever, whose eyes keep watch on the nations. Let the rebellious not exalt themselves. Bless our God, O people. Let the sound of his praise be heard, who has kept us among the living and has not let our feet slip. For you, O God, have tested us. You have tried us as silver is tried. You brought us into the net. You laid burdens on our backs. You let people ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, and yet you have brought us out to a spacious place. I will come into your house with burnt offerings. I will pay you my vows, those that my lips utter and my mouth promised when I was in trouble. I will offer to you burnt offerings of fatlings with the smoke of the sacrifice of rams. I will make an offering of bulls and goats. Come and hear, all you who fear God, and I will tell you what he has done for me. I cried aloud to him, and he was extolled with my tongue. If I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But truly God has listened. He has given heed to the words of my prayer. Blessed be God, because he has not rejected my prayer or removed his steadfast love from me. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Friends in Christ, what I say to you this morning is proclaimed in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Reading through Psalm 66 over the past week, it dawned on me at a certain point that this psalm, this is us. At one level, I know it's no great insight. I tell you all the time that the reason we love the Psalms so much is because of their ability to encapsulate our life experiences so well. So why should I be so surprised that this psalm is us? Well, this is a little more than just a I can see me in a text sort of experience. No, I would like to say to you today that this is an if we turned the cameras here in the sanctuary around so that we could see all of your smiling faces smile. If you could see all of your smiling faces and we took a photograph of you here in this moment, freezing our experience of worship in time, this is us. This psalm is that very moment. Psalm 66 is the psalm of a community of faith that is gathered together for praise. It is us, each and every Sunday as we come into this place through the doors of this sanctuary. Make a joyful noise to God, all the earth. Sing to the glory of God's name. Give God glorious praise. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. But it is also, this psalm, much more than us. It is even more than the image of all of the worshiping communities that we could ever think of gathering together to be seen in this one little snapshot of praise. It is all the earth. Believers who have learned to trust in the Lord and people who still do not know who the Lord is, and yet everyone here is included in those opening words. All the earth is exhorted to praise God. And just like us, as we gather each week, the psalm begins with the most basic and the most profound statement of faith. And it is simply this: our God is worthy. That we come into worship because the God who we know deserves our praise. It is what we articulate in prayers when we say things like, "It is our duty and delight in all times and all places to give praise to our God." Sometimes in the flowery wording of worship, we can lose the meaning of certain phrases. But what we declare when we say words like that is that the praise of God is indeed central to our lives. And more importantly, our lives are diminished if we should succumb to the tyranny of the urgent and fill our God time with the busyness of the world. In a world of competing interests, and in a world in which things great and small vie for our time and our attention, and each in its own way seeks to define our lives, that our worship of God must come first, and that only as we worship God do we become truly human. Imagine all that in the first three verses. Where are we going to go from here, folks? But that's what's said, right, in verse 3. But verse 3 declares, "Say to God, how awesome are your deeds, because of your great power, your enemies cringe before you." The enemies pictured here in verse 3 are not just merely other people, the people across the fence that we have disputes with, or somebody else somewhere down the line, those who stand against us or against our goals, but all of those things that we elevate to power, the lesser, the small g gods of our lives who seek to supplant the one true God and lay claim to our lives. You know, the sect of consumerism and the tenets of successfulness, the idolatry of leisure activities and the religion of me first. The psalmist says all of these things become sallow and anemic when placed alongside the brilliance of the glory of God. And then, as is often the case, the psalmist turns to the historic reality of the people of God. The psalmist turns and recounts God's saving actions on behalf of the children of God who led the people out of Egypt and away from the exploitative Egyptian economy, reordering the very creation so that the children of God might be saved. This is the God who is able to turn a sea into dry land so that the people might walk on foot into new life. That's verse 7, I think. Often, when we who are 21st century Christians look upon the Hebrew Scriptures, we're tempted to focus on the life-giving, ex nihilo creating actions of God, right? We love those first couple of chapters of the book of Genesis, where God calls forth things and they appear. And that gives form and shape, and how he gives form and shape to the creative world around us. And we reserve the themes of salvation for the coming of the person of Jesus in the New Testament. But in an article from many years ago entitled "Enthroned on the Praises of Israel, the Praise of God in Old Testament Theology," Professor Patrick Miller, who was at the time a professor at Princeton Theological Seminary, notes that as he looked at the repeated references to God's saving actions in Exodus, as they are rehearsed once more in the Psalms and indeed throughout the rest of the Hebrew Scriptures, as we have seen today, Miller concluded that even for the people of the Old Testament, they celebrated a God who, in ways both large and small, was a God of salvation, a God who saved his people. Again, not the world's greatest observation. I'm going to be honest. You all know that. And yet, it is an important reminder for us that the God of Scriptures, the God of both the Old and the New Testament, is a God who is intent on saving us. And from this foundational event, the leading of the people out of captivity in Egypt and into the promised land that God had promised to Abraham and Sarah and their many descendants after them. From this foundational event, then the author of the psalm turns to an articulation of all of those other things. Those minor temptations and oppressions and annoyances that have threatened the lives and the faith of the people of God. The psalmist notes, God has kept us among the living. He's not let our foot slip, for you, O God, have tested us. You have tried us as silver is tried. You brought us into the net. You laid burdens on our backs. You let others ride over our heads. We went through fire. We went through water. And yet you have brought us out and into a spacious place. Note. A spacious place just doesn't mean a big empty space. This word that gets used here and it's translated a spacious place is the exact same word that we heard in Psalm 23 when we talked about it a couple of weeks ago, and the fact that God, surely goodness and mercy follows all the days of our lives, and God gives us the abundance of the table. It's spacious in that it is overwhelmingly full of good things. These verses contain the articulation that all of the trials that still exist in our world and in all of our lives, we should never be tempted into the thinking that God is not aware of them. But that God sees these things and continues to walk alongside of us, our strength and our guide. And God sees us through these trials and to the other side. And there we are blessed. And all of this then returns us to the very beginning once more. The psalm is a complete circle. That the steadfastness of our God is so great that the only response that this person has as he writes this psalm this morning is to go to church, is to worship. Verse 13, I will come into your house with burnt offerings, and I will pay you my vows. Those that my lips uttered and my mouth promised when I was in trouble, I will offer you our burnt offerings and fat calves, the smoke of sacrifice of rams. I will make an offering of bulls and goats. Come, all of you who fear the Lord, and I will tell you the wonderful things that God has done for me. Testimony. you're sitting out in the back deck, our worship pales compared to ancient Israel's. We don't have burnt offerings and fatted calves and sacrifices of rams, that wonderful smell. But if you're sitting on the back deck this afternoon, because it is Mother's Day, and somebody across the fence is barbecuing, and you're kind of sitting there going, oh, I wonder who's barbecuing today. Oh, that smells really good. Imagine that. That is part of this praise that we have here. It is completely enveloping of all of our senses. And in the end, the psalmist returns to the only response that we have, that we can give thanks to God because God does good things for us. And it's an interesting thing. In this particular moment, this is a bit of an oddity in Psalm 66. Because Psalm 66 starts with the communal gathering of the people in praise and ends with this articulation of personal praise. Scholars struggle with that a little bit and try to piece them together, figure out what all it means. I think it means this, because it's what we have all experienced, isn't it? That each of us has had our experience of God. Each of us sings our song of praise that God has helped us through a difficult time, and therefore all that we can do in response to God's goodness is to give praise. And it is indeed in that shared desire to praise God that communities of faith are built and stuck together and become for one another the support that we need as we move through the trials of life. We come to give testimony to the goodness of our God, recognizing that each and every time we enter into this place, there may be one sitting beside us who at this moment cannot praise God. There may be someone here this morning who cannot praise God, whose burden is too great, whose grief is too deep, that God seems too far away. But we can. We walk alongside of them just as God walks alongside the psalmist there in verse 13, I think. Just as the psalmist, God walks with the psalmist in verse 13. So we walk with those who bear the burdens of this world now, that they might remember the goodness of God, and in that goodness find hope once more. That is why God calls us into communities of faith. Because first and foremost, we are people of praise. But we are also people of prayer who bear the burdens of those who cannot at this moment praise God themselves, to support them and lift them up, to ensure them that they are not alone, but that God and us walk along beside them. Thanks be to God for his goodness to us. May we always find God worthy of our praise. This morning's affirmation of faith will transport some of you back to childhood. Classrooms in the basement and little gold stars on the margin of that blue and white catechism that was part of our Sunday school upbringing. We read this morning the first four questions from the shorter catechism. I will read the questions and you are invited to respond with the answers. What is our chief end? Our chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. What rule hath God given to direct us how we may glorify and enjoy him? The word of God, which is contained in the scriptures of the Old Testament, is the only rule to direct us how we may glorify and enjoy him. What do the scriptures principally teach? The scriptures principally teach that man is to believe concerning God and what duty God requires of man. What is God? God is a spirit, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable, in his being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. Amen. I always found number 4 hard, because that list of seven characteristics of God, I never got into the rhythm. So I always forgot one. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and yet refuses to help a sister or a brother who is in need? Remembering God's great love for the world, let us offer our lives to the Lord as we present our tithes and our offerings.
Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Let us pray. Great God, to you we give our thanks. Your steadfast love endures forever. With gratitude, we bring our gifts to you. Bless and use these gifts, that our lives and our resources may be a source of healing and hope, of joy and justice in your world. We pray these things through Christ our Lord. Amen. Once more, let us unite our voices and our hearts in prayer. Let us pray. Ever-present God, we give you thanks that you listen to our cries and give heed to our prayers. We praise you and we bless you, our one true and loving God. As we come this day, we pray for all who search for you, that they may find their way. Bless us with lips that sing your praise and lives that tell stories of all the good things that you have done for us. Open our eyes to find you among us as we share your love with others. We pray for all who are oppressed by governments or institutions, for those whose voices are not heard or believed, those with no one on their side. Bless us with a joy for justice and the strength to persevere as we work toward your coming realm of peace. We pray this day for all who are hungry and those who worry each day as to how they will care for families. Bless us all with meaningful work and fill us with good things, as we love and care for each other and find our sustenance in you. We pray for all who suffer the violence and scars of war, for all soldiers and their families, and all who live and serve in war-torn places. Give them courage in the face of fear. In times of trouble, do not let their feet slip. Bless us with your vision of peace, for you have made us one family by giving life and breath to all. We remember before you all who have died and pray for all who will die this day, that they may know your peace. Bless us with the gift of faith, that we may know you and love you and enjoy life eternal shared with you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forevermore. Hear us now as we continue in prayer as Jesus taught his disciples to pray in this manner. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 350 in the Book of Praise. To God be the glory, great things he has done. We will sing the refrain following the last verse only. So let us sing hymn 350.
To God be
And now let us go forth into the world, seeking to love and serve the Lord in all that we do. And as you go, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace this day and forevermore. Amen. And there are yummy cupcakes at the back this morning, so everybody should plan to stay and get a cupcake.